Lest We Forget, Volume 12, Number 2. Reaffirm, Reprint, Retell. Key Extracts of 24 Documents from 1896 to 1910, Part 3. This is the final issue of Lest We Forget. By way of reminder, we are hearing statements made by Ellen White highlighting the importance of the testimonies of the pioneers of our movement. The majority of the documents we are extracting were written in 1905. In our last issue, we shared two documents from 1904 and nine from 1905. Now we present the one remaining manuscript from 1905, five from 1906, and one each from 1908 and 1910. We begin with her final statement made in 1905 on December 24, entitled, Steadfast Unto the End. The instruction to be communicated to John was so important that Christ came from heaven to give it to his servant, telling him to send it to the churches. This instruction is to be the object of our careful and prayerful study, for we are living in a time when men who are not under the teaching of the Holy Spirit will bring in false theories. These men have been standing in high places, and they have ambitious projects to carry out. They seek to exalt themselves and to revolutionize the whole showing of things. God has given us special instruction to guard us against such ones. He bade John write in a book that which should take place in the closing scenes of this earth's history. After the passing of the time, God entrusted to his faithful followers the precious principles of present truth. These principles were not given to those who had had no part in the giving of the first and second angels' messages. They were given to the workers who had had a part in the cause from the beginning. Those who pass through these experiences are to be as firm as a rock to the principles that have made us Seventh-day Adventists. They are to be workers together with God, binding up the testimony and sealing the law among his disciples. Those who took part in the establishment of our work upon a foundation of Bible truth, those who know the waymarks that have pointed out the right path, are to be regarded as workers of the highest value. They can speak from personal experience regarding the truths entrusted to them. These men are not to permit their faith to be changed to infidelity. They are not to permit the banner of the third angel to be taken from their hands. They are to hold the beginning of their confidence firm unto the end. The Lord has declared that the history of the past shall be rehearsed as we enter upon the closing work. Every truth that he has given for these last days is to be proclaimed to the world. Every pillar that he has established is to be strengthened. We cannot now step off the foundation that God has established. We cannot now enter into any new organization, for this would mean apostasy from the truth. The medical missionary work needs to be purified and cleansed from everything that would weaken the faith of believers in the past experience of the people of God. Eden, beautiful Eden, was degraded by the introduction of sin. There is need now to rehearse the experience of the men who acted a part in the establishment of our work at the beginning. Next was a letter written January 23, 1906, to Brother and Sister Hughes. I am praying that the Lord's people shall have special power just now, and that they will not think or talk discouragement. We need to strengthen our belief in the past experience that we have had in the cause of God. We need to pray much and speak words of encouragement to others. Satan will use his best plans to lead souls to bring in some new theories, some strange, fanciful ideas. These souls will try to substantiate false doctrines, and they will take texts of Scripture and misapply them in order to make their doctrines appear as truth. The theories that Elder Ballinger advocated, which remove the sanctuary truth, are just such as the enemy would bring in as matters of the utmost importance to shake us from our foundation of faith. But we must heed the word. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. When efforts are made to unsettle our faith in our past experience and to send us adrift, let us hold fast to the truth that we have received. Last night I received instruction, as you will see when you read the enclosed copies. The warning is given, hold fast to the past experience. And then 1 Corinthians 2 verses 1 through 5 is quoted. The power of God, it is this that will bear the test of trial, breaking down opposition, melting away scientific reasoning, and bringing men and women to an appreciation of the truth that has kept us where we are on a solid foundation. Next is a letter to W. W. Simpson, January 30, 1906. There is a large pile of unpublished matter relating to our early experience in the message that should be republished. The instruction given me is that the words of the Lord should not be lost, but should be ever kept in mind, because we are constantly in danger of losing the truth out of the soul and gathering up things that are out of the line of truth, things that will lead to confusion. The truths given us after the passing of the time in 1844 are just as certain and unchangeable as when the Lord gave them to us in answer to our urgent prayers. The visions that the Lord has given me are so remarkable that we know that what we have accepted is the truth. This was demonstrated by the Holy Spirit. Light, precious light from God, established the main points of our faith as we hold them today. And these truths are to be kept before the mind. We must arouse from the position of lukewarmness, from being neither cold nor hot. We need increased faith and more earnest trust in God. We must not be satisfied to remain where we are. We must advance step by step from light to greater light. The Lord will certainly do great things for us if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are the purchased property of Jesus Christ. We must not lose our devotion, our consecration. We are in conflict with the errors and delusions that have to be swept away from the minds of those who have not acted upon the light they already have. Bible truth is our only safety. I know and understand that we are to be established in the faith, in the light of the truth given us in our early experience. At that time, one error after another pressed in upon us, and ministers and doctors brought in new doctrines. We would search the Scriptures with much prayer, and the Holy Spirit would bring the truth to our minds. Sometimes whole nights would be devoted to searching the Scriptures and earnestly asking God for guidance. Companies of earnest, devoted men and women assembled for this purpose. The power of God would come upon me, and I was enabled clearly to define what is truth and what is error. As the points of our faith were thus established, our feet were placed upon a solid foundation. We accepted the truth point by point under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I would be taken off in vision, and explanations would be given me. I was given illustrations of heavenly things and of the sanctuary, so that we were placed where light was shining on us in clear, distinct rays. All these truths are immortalized in my writings. The Lord never denies His word. Men may get up scheme after scheme, and the enemy will seek to seduce souls from the truth. But all who believe that the Lord has spoken through Sister White and has given her a message will be safe from the many delusions that will come in these last days. I know that the sanctuary question stands in righteousness and truth, just as we have held it for so many years. It is the enemy that leads minds off on sidetracks. He is pleased when those who know the truth become engrossed in collecting scriptures to pile up around erroneous theories, which have no foundation in truth. The scriptures thus used are misapplied. they were not given to substantiate error, but to strengthen truth. So you see that it is impossible for us to have any agreement with the positions taken by Brother A.F. Ballinger, for no lie is of the truth. His proofs do not belong where he places them, and although he may lead minds to believe his theory in regard to the sanctuary, there is no evidence that his theory is true. We have had a plain and decided testimony to bear for half a century. The positions taken in my books are truth. The truth was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and we know that Brother Ballinger's position is not according to the Word of God. This theory is a deceiving theory, and he misapplies scriptures. Theories of the kind that he has been presenting, we have had to meet again and again. I am thankful that the instruction contained in my books establishes present truth for this time. These books were written under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice, and I pray that he will lead into all truth those who will be led. I praise him that he has so wonderfully spared my life up to this time to bear the same message upon the important points of our faith that I have borne for half a century. Next is a manuscript written February the 7th, 1906, entitled Preach the Word. I am instructed that we are not to enter into any controversy over the spiritualistic representations that are fast coming in from every quarter. Further than this, I am to give those in charge of our papers instruction not to publish in the columns of the Review and Herald, the Signs of the Times, or any other papers published by Seventh-day Adventists, articles attempting to explain these sophistries. We are in danger whenever we discuss the sophistries of the enemy. The publication of articles dealing with these sophistries is a snare for souls. Let these theories alone, and warn all not to read them. Your explanations will amount to nothing. Let the theories alone. Do not try to show the inconsistency or fallacy of them. Let them alone. Do not perpetuate evil by talking of these theories in sermons or by publishing in our papers articles regarding them. The Lord says, "Let them be unexplained." Present the affirmative truth plainly, clearly, and decidedly. You cannot afford to study or combat these false theories. Present the truth. It is written. The time spent in dealing with these fallacies is so much time lost. Our papers are not published for the purpose of dealing with such subjects. Articles on Bible subjects, full of practical truth, and written in so simple a style that the children and the common people cannot misunderstand them, are to fill our papers. The writers who are quoted in articles discussing these subjects are much pleased to have their views thus introduced to our people. But this is sowing tares. Our ministers are not given the work of discussing these subjects of spiritualistic science. They are to keep strictly to Bible truth. It is written. They are to present the reasons of our faith and never reproduce the seductive heresies that will continually appear. No time or study is to be given to these seducing theories. The enemy stands close beside those who proclaim his sentiments. What we need is truth, present truth. Let the truth shine forth in its unmeasured superiority, in all the dignity and purity that distinguishes true religion. An acquaintance with the Word of God will strengthen us to resist evil. Hold up the cross of Calvary. This will rebuke heathen philosophy and pagan idolatry. Lift up the cross of Calvary higher and still higher as the identified reality of Christianity. Let all our works, our every enterprise, show forth the sacred principles of the gospel. For the past 50 years I have been receiving intelligence regarding heavenly things. but the instruction given me has now been used by others to justify and endorse theories in Living Temple that are of a character to mislead. May the Lord teach me how to meet such things. If necessary, I can charge all such work as coming directly from Satan to make the words God has given me testify to a lie. Nashville, July 4. We are very sorry to read the article written by Elder Tenney in The Medical Missionary on the sanctuary question. The enemy has obtained the victory over one minister. If this minister had remained away from the seducing influences that Satan is exerting at the present time in Battle Creek, he might yet be standing on vantage ground. We are very sorry to see the result of gathering a large number to Battle Creek. Ministers who have been believers in the foundation truths that have made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists, ministers who went to Battle Creek to teach and strengthen the truths of the Bible, are now, when old and gray-headed, turning from the grand truths of the Bible and accepting infidel sentiments. This means that the next step will be a denial of a personal God, pulling down the bulwarks of the faith that is plainly revealed in the Scriptures. The sanctuary question is the foundation of our faith. Now for a letter to G. C. Tenney, dated June 29, 1906. I have been surprised and made sad to read some of your articles in the Medical Missionary, and especially those on the sanctuary question. These articles show that you have been departing from the faith. You have helped in confusing the understanding of our people. The correct understanding of the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary is the foundation of our faith. If you had remained away from the seducing influences that Satan is exerting at the present time in Battle Creek, you might yet be standing on vantage ground. We are very sorry to see the result of gathering a large number to Battle Creek. Ministers who have been believers in the foundation truths that have made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists, ministers who went to Battle Creek to teach and uphold the truth of the Bible, are now, when old and gray-headed, turning from the grand truths of the Bible and accepting infidel sentiments. This means that the next step will be a denial of a personal God, pulling down the bulwarks of the faith that is plainly revealed in the Scriptures. In the Word is given the warning, "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Those who are not walking in the light of the message may gather up statements from my writings that happen to please them, and that agree with their human judgment, and by separating these statements from their connection and placing them beside human reasonings, make it appear that my writings uphold that which they condemn. I charge you not to do this work, to use my writings thus, and at the same time reject the message which I bear to correct errors, is misleading and inconsistent. Next is a manuscript written July 4, 1906, Lessons from the Visions of Ezekiel. In visions of the night I seemed to be speaking with great earnestness before an assembly of people. A heavy burden was upon my soul. I was presenting before those gathered together the message of the prophet Ezekiel regarding the duties of the Lord's watchmen. And then Ezekiel 33 verses 1 through 11 is quoted. There is a spirit of wickedness at work in the church that is striving at every opportunity to make void the law of God. While the Lord may not punish unto death those who have carried their rebellion to great lengths, the light will never again shine with such convincing power upon the stubborn opposers of truth. Sufficient evidence is given to every soul regarding what is truth and what is error. But the deceptive power of evil upon some is so great that they will not receive the evidence and respond to it by repentance. A long-continued resistance of truth will harden the most impressionable heart. Those who reject the spirit of truth place themselves under the control of a spirit that is opposed to the word and work of God. For a time they may continue to teach some phases of the truth, but their refusal to accept all the light God sends will after a time place them where they will do the work of a false watchman. The interests of the cause of present truth demand that those who profess to stand on the Lord's side shall bring into exercise all their powers to vindicate the Advent message, the most important message that will ever come to the world. For those who stand as representatives of present truth to use time and energy now in attempting to answer the questions of the doubting ones will be an unwise use of their time. It will not remove the doubts. The burden of our work now is not to labor for those who, although they have had abundant light and evidence, still continue on the unbelieving side. God bids us give our time and strength to the work of preaching to the people the messages that stirred men and women in 1843 and 1844. We are now to labor unceasingly to get the truth before Jew and Gentile. Instead of going over and over the same ground to establish the faith of those who should never have accepted a doubt regarding the third angel's message, let our efforts be given to making known the truth to those who have never heard it. God calls upon us to make known to all men the truths that have made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists. God is speaking to his people today as he spoke to Israel through Moses, saying, "Who is on the Lord's side?" My brethren, take your position where God bids you. Leave alone those who, after light has been repeatedly given them, have taken a stand on the opposite side. You are not to spend precious time in repeating to them what they already know and thus lose your opportunities of entering new fields with the message of present truth. Take up the work which has been given us. With the Word of God as your message, stand on the platform of truth and proclaim the soon coming of Christ. Truth, eternal truth, will prevail. For more than half a century, the different points of present truth have been questioned and opposed. New theories have been advanced as truth, which were not truth, and the Spirit of God revealed their error. As the great pillars of our faith have been presented, the Holy Spirit has borne witness to them, and especially is this so regarding the truths of the sanctuary question. Over and over again, the Holy Spirit has, in a marked manner, endorsed the preaching of this doctrine. But today, as in the past, some will be led to form new theories and to deny the truths upon which the Spirit of God has placed his approval. Any man who seeks to present theories which would lead us from the light that has come to us on the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary should not be accepted as a teacher. A true understanding of the sanctuary question means much to us as a people. When we were earnestly seeking the Lord for light on that question, light came. In vision, I was given such a view of the heavenly sanctuary and the ministration connection with the holy place that for many days I could not speak of it. I know from the light that God has given me that there should be a revival of the messages that have been given in the past, because men will seek to bring in new theories and will try to prove that these theories are scriptural, whereas they are error, which, if allowed, a place will undermine faith in the truth. We are not to accept these suppositions and pass them along as truth. No, we must not move from the platform of truth on which we have been established. There will always be those who are seeking for something new and who stretch and strain the Word of God to make it support their ideas and theories. Let us, brethren, take the things that God has given us and which His Spirit has taught us is truth and believe them, leaving alone those theories which His Spirit has not endorsed. Next, an appeal for the Madison School, March 25, 1908. I have been instructed to publish the early experiences of the cause of present truth, showing why we stand as we do, a people separate and distinct from the world. Few of the men who led out in the proclamation of the message are now living, but I have kept in my diaries an account of many precious experiences. These are now being prepared for the press. Will someone loan me, at a low rate of interest, the means to help in doing this work that needs to be done in bringing these things before the people? While Satan is stirring up many to depart from the faith, I am bidden to republish the experiences of the past and give the message of warning God sends, showing the dangers of the present time and what will be in the future. And now our final statement, a letter that was written to G.I. Butler, November 23, 1910. I have not lost faith in you, Elder Butler. I greatly desire that the old soldiers, grown gray in the Master's service, shall continue to bear their testimony right to the point that those younger in the faith may understand that the messages which the Lord gave us in the past are very important at this stage of the earth's history. Our past experience has not lost one jot of its force. I thank the Lord for every jot and tittle of the sacred word. I would not draw back from the hard parts of our experience. I hope that in the future I may meet you at some of our gatherings. You and I are among the oldest of those living who have long kept the faith. If we should not live to see the Lord's appearing, yet, having done our appointed work, we shall lay off our armor with sanctified dignity. Let us do our best, and let us do it in faith and hope. My heart is filled with gratitude to the Lord for sparing my life for so long. My right hand can still trace subjects of Bible truth without trembling. Tell all that Sister White's hand still traces words of instruction for the people. I am completing another book on Old Testament history.